Nếu như
globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Usako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polovni. Točno o poldan.
Nova stara Kaledonija. Spoštovani, spoštovane, poslušate Južno hemisfero, oddajo aktualno-politične redakcije Radija Študent na 89,3 MHz. V današnji oddaji pozornost posvečamo Novi Kaledoniji. Nova Kaledonija je francosko čezmorsko ozemlje v jugovzhodnem Pacifiku, nedaleč od severovzhodne obale Avstralije. Nova Kaledonija, sestavljena iz glavnega otoka imenovanega Grande Terre in nekaj manjših okoliških otokov, je del Melanezije, ki se razteza od Papue do Fidžija. Povod za današnjo oddajo je bližajoči se plebiscit na Novi Kaledoniji, ki bo odločal o nadaljni usodi otočja. Ali bo ostalo pod francosko trobojnico, ali pa bo šlo po samostojni poti. Do referenduma o neodvisnosti še pridemo, za začetek pa je treba podati kar nekaj zgodovinskega konteksta. Začnemo leta 1774. Leta 1774 zato, ker je britanski raziskovalec James Cook tisto leto dal temu zemlju sedanje ime. Kaledonija je latinsko ime za Škotsko, na obalo katere je Cook pomislil, ko je prvič zagledal severovzhodni krak otoka. Kaj kmalu je Nova Kaledonija postala plen večinoma francoskih in britanskih trgovcev, ki so služili z izkoriščanjem naravnih in človeških bogastev, in sicer s pridobivanjem sandalovine in z ugrabljanjem demorodcev za delo na plantažah. Francozi so leta 1854 tudi uradno prevzeli nadzor nad Novo Kaledonijo, ki je bila do konca 19. stoletja kazenska kolonija francoskega imperija. V tem času je prišlo do odkritja znatnih zalog niklja, s tem pa tudi do znatnejšega naseljevanja Evropejcev. Posledice so v obliki izgube ozemlja in smrtnih žrtev zaradi širitev bolezni priseljenskega izvora čutili domorodci, ljudstvo Kanaki. Zatiranje domorodnega prebivalstva je pripeljalo do dveh oboroženih uporov prvotnih prebivalcev, in sicer v letu 1878 ter pozneje v času Prve svetovne vojne. Kanaki potem niso sprožili nobenega upora vse do 80-ih let prejšnjega stoletja. Več o vlogi ozemlja Nove Kaledonije v kontekstu nekdanjega in sedanjega francoskega imperija pove Denis Fisher, profesorica na Avstralski narodni univerzi.
New Caledonia is in many ways the jewel in the crown of the Empire of France, which still exists, of course, all around the world. France is one of the few European powers that has overseas territories all around the globe. It has three territories and one uninhabited island in the South Pacific. These are French Polynesia, New Caledonia, and Wallis and Futuna, and a remote but very strategically important Clipperton Island, uninhabited. Of all of these four, New Caledonia is the jewel. New Caledonia has about at least a quarter of the world's nickel resources. So it's one of the overseas territories that really has some assets for France. Strategically, New Caledonia's location in the Pacific, with the considerable exclusive economic zone, marine zone that it has around it, delivers for France the status of number two maritime nation in the world. So Strategically, it has great significance. It always has for France in the last 50 years or so. Before then, it was merely, well, it wasn't important, but it was an overseas settlement where there were settlers. But in the last 50 years, its importance has really grown. And in the last 10 years, it's grown even more because, of course, China has started to become present in the Pacific region.
Pomembno strateško vlogo je Nova Kaledonija odigrala v času druge svetovne vojne, ko je bila glavno vojaško oporišče mornarice Združenih držav Amerike v Južnem Pacifiku. Šele obdobje po koncu vojne je domorodcem prineslo pravico do francoskega državljanstva, kljub temu pa so ostali izključeni iz političnega in ekonomskega razvoja prekomorskega ozemlja. V sledečih desetletjih so tudi prvič postali manjšina na lastnem otočju. Več Alexander Dayon, raziskovalec avstralskega možganskega trasta Lawi.
The local population, the Kanak, didn't really have the same they didn't have the same chances in this French society abroad. So like the Kanak didn't have the same education opportunities, they didn't have the same work opportunities. For instance, at school, the students were learning French history. They weren't learning the Kanak history. They weren't even learning how to speak, like the native language.
Proces dekolonizacije, ki je praktično v celoti zajel francosko ozemlje v Afriki, je obšel Novo Kaledonijo. Vlada v Parizu je, domnevno pod pritiskom evropskih priseljencev, ki jih poznamo pod nazivom Kaldoš, izničila uredbe, ki so otočju zagotavljale večjo stopnjo avtonomije. S tem si je Francija tudi zagotovila popoln nadzor nad rastočim izvozom niklja. Nova Kaledonija premore kar četrtino celotne svetovne zaloge tekovine. Konec 70-ih je v Novi Kaledoniji prišlo do ponovnega prebujanja kanaške identitete. Za vzpostavitvijo političnih domorodskih strank so se pojavili tudi glasnejši klici k neodvisnosti ozemlja. Rastoče nezadovoljstvo je kulminiralo v tako imenovanih dogodkih ali les événements v francoščini. Denis Fischer te dogodke raje poimenuje kar državljanska vojna.
The real issue at the time and what really led to the civil war of the, which began in the early 1980s was this reassertion by France of control over the nickel industry. And it's very interesting because well, that was one element. And that was interesting because it was actually the Caldoche, the European long-standing residents of New Caledonia who wanted to pursue, to invite a Canadian company to come in and develop the nickel resource. And of course, this was very strongly resisted by the French who owned the sole nickel producer of the time, and indeed one of the strongest producers even today. But secondly, in order to reassert their control, it was quite an overt policy of the French at the time to bring in large numbers of French from other French islands and from other French territories and from the metropolitan area itself, specifically to outnumber the Kanaks. And it was avowed in 1977, publicly avowed by one French minister, that this was the French policy in order to, as the only way really, to work against the independence sentiment that was evolving, primarily at that time through the Kanaks, but not solely. There were many Caldoche who agreed, or long-term European residents who agreed with the many of the Kanaks who wanted independence at the time.
Da bi pomirila rastoče napetosti, je Francija leta 1983 prvič priznala Kanake kot posebno ljudstvo, predtem so jih namreč imenovali preprosto Melanezici. Istočasno so Kanake označili za žrtve zgodovine in jim obljubili referendum o neodvisnosti. Tega so Novi Kaledonci dobili leta 1987, a kot pojasni Gonzague de la Bourdonnais, novinar Nouvelle Caledonitaire je, oprostite, Nouvelle Caledonie premier je ni bil legitimen. Za neodvisnost se je izreklo le 1,7% voljivcev, predvsem zato, ker so se podporniki neodvisnosti odločili za bojkot.
In fact, it was very bad referendum. in 1987. And this referendum excluded Kanak people from the avenir of New Caledonia. That's why the year 1988, there was the problem in Uvea, the death of the growth of Kosana in Nouméa, and everybody now today recognize that this referendum was a very bad referendum.
Povod za resno reševanje problematike izključenosti staroselcev je dala talska kriza maja 1988, ko so pripadniki Kanaške in socialistične narodne osvobodilne fronte ubili 4 in ugrabili 34 pripadnikov žandamerije, skupaj z javnim toživcem. Že mesec po krvavem obračunu, v katerem je umrlo tudi 19 ugrabiteljev, je bil v pisarni francoskega predsednika vlade podpisan Matigonski sporazum. Matignonski sporazum je vzpostavil 10-letno obdobje, v katerem naj bi bili napori usmerjeni v izboljšanje položaja Kanakov v institucionalnem in ekonomskem smislu. V zameno so predstavniki Kanakov obljubili, da v tem obdobju ne bodo omenjali boja za neodvisnost. Več o rezultatih tega dogovora pove Bourdonnais.
The first thing was the political recognition through the province. It was the real new idea of Matignon agreement, Matignon-Oudinot agreement in 1988. It was first the political recognition. That means you had one anti-independence province and two independence province. That means the first one was the South province, usually against independence, and the North and the Island province are a pro-independence province. That was the first decision. The second decision was to allow the second and the third province, that means North and Island, to have their own economic power. And that's why they could develop the North Nickel engineering. Usine du Nord is now a place where 4,000 people can work in Conné, in the center of the North Province. And this project has developed a lot of new activities, economic activities in the North Province, who was forgotten before.
V skladu z Matignonskim sporazumom bi morali leta 1998 potekati vnovičen referendum o neodvisnosti. Konsens med takratnimi politiki z obeh strani pa je bil, da je zanj vendarle še prezgodaj. Namesto plebiscita so tako podpisali nov sporazum v prestolnici Nomej, ki je datum novega referenduma potisnil 20 leti naprej, v leto 2018.
In 1998, a new step through autonomy, with more power for the provinces and with more power for the government. You know, when you vote for the province, first, you vote for the composition of the Congress, which is a sort of national assembly, who votes some laws here. And you vote also for the composition of the government. So the 1998 Nouméa agreement gave more power to New Caledonian people and to province in tourism, in economy, in environment, in tourism, in health. They have a lot of own capacities.
Francija je v tem 20-letnem obdobju del upravljanja otočja prepustila tamkajšnjim prebivalcem. Še vedno pa ohranja nadzor nad policijo, vojsko, zunanjo politiko, pravosodjem in financami Nove Kaledonije. S pridobitvijo večje avtonomije provincije je bila vzpostavljena tudi struktura s posebno ureditvijo in senatom specifično namenjenim Kanakom. Denis Fischer poda oceno, kako uspešna sta bila sporazuma pri izboljševanju življenja domorodcev.
recently there have been huge developments. There have been major institutions created, not the least being the Congress, the local government, based on three provincial assemblies, which are elected every 5 years. There is a new institution called the Customary Senate, which is entirely made of Indigenous people, Indigenous chiefs, who must be involved whenever legislation is involved that touches on customary issues. And because the three institutions of the provincial assemblies in Northern Province and Loyalty Islands, which are majority Kanak, and the Southern Province, which is majority European, you have politicians in the North and the Province. You've got seasoned politicians now. You've got people who are leading governments, running governments in those provinces. So those are the successes. On the other side, the flip side, there has been not enough done to include young Kanaks in genuinely in the life and economic development of the territory.
Bourdonnais poudarja, da gre za proces, ki še vedno traja in bo trajal tudi naprej.
The problem today is nothing is when you say have indigenous people all benefited from this progress? No, because probably the problem nowadays is not a south and north contrast, it's between the east and the west. And I think that the east coast, what we call the Kanak country, didn't benefit so much from the economic development since 1998. And the problem now is to allow the east coast, what we call the Kanak country, accept the public administration and the commune, that means the cities affairs. Instead of that, you have not so much job for people over there. So it's not finished, and I think one of the goals of the next administrations and the provincial administration will to develop this part of the New Caledonia.
Dajan poudarja, da Kanaki še vedno ne uživajo privilegijev evropskih naseljencev. Padec cen niklja leta 2014 pa je to skupnost še dodatno prizadel. V zadnjem letu cena sicer ponovno narašča, a otočje ostaja odvisno od financiranja iz Francije.
Kanaks don't have the same opportunities, unfortunately. Can be in education or in work. They basically don't have the same jobs opportunities. And so that's one issue. But the other issue is that New Caledonia as a country, as a territory, it sits on more than one quarter of the world's nickel reserves, and it also sits on like offshore hydrocarbons and massive fish stock. The issue with New Caledonia is that it depends highly on its extractive activity. Nickel represents 20% of like the New Caledonian economy, and it was all right for them to live with it from like 2004 to 2014 because like the prices of nickel on the market were actually pretty high, which could really sustain the economy. But in the past few years, you know, the price of nickel really collapsed, and so it meant that the industry on which New Caledonia really relies on, this industry has really suffered. And so, yeah, that's why, like, right now, Caledonia is not in good shape, you know. It means also that this territory is very dependent of France's support.
Ne glede na učinke določil iz dogovora izpred dveh desetletij, še vedno velja, da mora Nova Kaledonija plebiscit izvesti do novembra leta 2018. Več o tem po glasbenem premoru.
La mer. La mer. La mer. On va danser le long des golf clubs. On va danser le long des golf clubs. Le long des golf clubs. On va danser le long des golf clubs. La mer. La mer. La mer.
Cenjeni poslušalci, še vedno ste na 89,3 MHz in še vedno poslušate Južno hemisfero, kjer se tokrat posvečamo Novi Kaledoniji. Pred glasbenim premorom smo spoznali preteklost otočja, ki po popisu iz leta 2014 sodeč šteje 269 tisoč prebivalcev. Največji delež med njimi, in sicer 39%, predstavljajo staroselci Kanaki, sledijo Evropejci 27%, njihov odstotek pa je realno še večji, saj predstavljajo tudi večino tistih, ki se identificirajo kot Kaledonci. Skoraj celotni preostanek populacije predstavljajo še priseljenci z okoliških otočij. Kakor je unikatno njeno prebivalstvo, je unikatna tudi ureditev Nove Kaledonije v primerjavi z ostalimi francoskimi čezmorskimi ozemlji. Gonzague de la Bourdonnais, novinar državne hiše Nouvelle Calédonie Premier.
First in 1988, it has been decided that France will give what they never gave before to a territory. It's a very original system. And there is no juridic name for that. That's why the name of the statute, the name of the statute of New Caledonia is New Caledonia. It's the what we call what the people who make laws and juridic specialists they called a statute sui generis in Latin. Sui generis. That means it has been invented only for New Caledonia, and it's the only one. Recognized by the French Constitution. So that means we have a lot of possibilities offered to us to decide of what we want to do for our future.
O prihodnosti otoka bodo prebivalci odločali najkasneje novembra letos. Če se bo na plebiscitu večina prebivalcev odločila proti neodvisnosti, bodo prebivalcem znova postavili isto plebiscitno vprašanje. Če pa se bodo tudi v drugo izrekli proti, bo v skladu s sporazumom iz Nomeje potekal še tretji in zadnji krog plebiscita. Walter Zweifel z Radia New Zealand International pojasni, zakaj bo plebiscit potekal mesec ali maksimalno dva pred rokom, določenim že davnega leta 1998.
In 1998 they came up with another accord trying to maintain this internal peace, and they did so very successfully by just containing tensions within New Caledonia, and decided in 1998 to have a 20-year phase of decolonization, and they broke down this Noumea Accord into five-year periods, during which there was a phased and irreversible transfer of powers from France to New Caledonia. And the last window, that's from 2014 to 2018, that was the window during which this possible independence referendum had to be held. So initially they could have had a referendum already in 2014, but as things happen, you know, politics domestically, and you have other things to worry about than what's going to happen at the end of this decolonization phase, it was just never raised. No one pushed for this referendum. No one voted to have it or pushed for it to be held earlier. There's also been in between a sort of a phase and strong political opinions not to have a referendum, to just defer everything, and then at the end of this 20-year phase go into a new accord to defer it for another 20 or 30 years.
Ključno vprašanje pred plebiscitom je do nedavnega bilo, kdo bo sploh imel volilno pravico. Med novembrskim obiskom francoskega premijeja Edvarda Filipa sta tabora za oziroma proti neodvisnosti vendarle sklenila kompromis. Pravico odločanja o nadaljni usodi otočja bodo tako imeli prvič vsi prebivalci Nove Kaledonije, ki tam živijo vsaj od leta 1994, drugič vsi, ki so tam rojeni in so hkrati na otočju živeli zadnja tri leta, in pa tretjič velika večina Kanakov. Zakaj je velika večina? Pravico do glasu ima načeloma vseh 104 tisoč Kanakov, kolikor naj bi jih na Novi Kaledoniji bilo. A zaplete se pri dejstvu, da Francija ustraja, da jih okoli 10 tisoč nima prijavljenega stalnega prebivališča in zato ne morejo voliti. Edina anketa javnega mnenja, ki je bila do sedaj opravljena med prebivalci Nove Kaledonije, nakazuje na zmago lojalistov, znaten delež volilnega telesa pa naj bi bil še neodločen. Denise Fisher z Avstralske narodne univerze je do te ankete skeptična in opozarja pred vnaprejšnjim predvidevanjem zmage tabora proti neodvisnosti.
It is not yet clear just how the referendum will turn out, because yes, there was one poll and a very small sample was taken in April last year, but it was very interesting because it said that, you know, the general wisdom in New Caledonia is, oh, 60% of the people are in favor of staying with France and 40% want to be independent, so you're always going to have the majority wanting to stay with France. But this particular poll showed 54.2% wanting to stay with France, 24.4% wanting independence, and 21.4% undecided. Now, I find that very interesting that the total of 45.8% of people were either committed to independence or not yet decided about whether or not they wanted to stay with France. So close to the referendum. So it's, and the second reason it's not clear is that you have a specially defined electorate for the referendum, which has never been tested in any election. And the third associated fact is that the census was disrupted by the French. The census-taking apparatus was disrupted by the French in 2003 when they arbitrarily removed the ethnic category from the census. Since then, they saw, because there was such controversy over removing the ethnic category from the census, so we didn't even know anymore how many Kanaks there were, they had to reinstate it. But they did it with different definitions. So you cannot compare statistics after 2003 with those that have been collected for 100 years beforehand.
Bourdonnais nasprotno ne dvomi v zmago lojalistov. Po njegovih informacijah prihaja tudi do bolj ali manj javnih razhajanj znotraj tabora za neodvisnost, ki mu poveljuje militantno zavezništvo strank, poimenovano Kanaška in socialistična narodno-osvobodilna fronta. To se je sicer močno oddaljilo od dni oboroženih bojev v 80-ih. Zdaj ima vlogo največje poslanske skupine znotraj kongresnega bloka strank, ki se zauzemajo za neodvisnost. V Kaledonskem kongresu so sicer še vedno v manjšini, saj štiri sedeže več nadzorujejo lojalisti.
Some independentists in private recognize that independence today is not the solutions, not now. The country is not ready, but it's not a speech they can tell that in front of a microphone, but in private, you have a part of the FNKS who says it's not the time now. We have to go further. You have to go further after next consultation, to go further in autonomy, but the complete independence, they are not ready for that. But as I told you, in FNKS, we have two or three different groups, and they're not always, they don't always agree for the calendar.
Uradni Pariz poskuša zavzeti čim neutralnejšo vlogo v pogovorih z obema taboroma. Zweifel je prepričan, da je pomemben faktor pri vladni poziciji ta, da so prepričani v zmago lojalistov. V marcu je kljub temu napovedan še obisk francoskega predsednika Emmanuela Macrona.
In the past, the French state or French leaders in essence suggest that it would be better if they stayed French, that sort of the semi-official line by was that by Sarkozy in the past, wishing to stay French. The only ones who are really outright saying, well, it should stay French is Marine Le Pen and the National Front. But otherwise, the French state, purports to have a neutral line in this. Now, I imagine it's also, this is my interpretation, possible for the French state to keep that line because it's understood that it will go the way of the anti-independent side. So there is no need, I think, to push a message that you should vote for staying with France because that's the way it is going. The official line by the French state and also in its actions in interacting with all the sides is that it is basically the organizer of this event, of this process.
Bordone pojasni, da prisotnost niklja ne igra več pomembne vloge za Francijo, saj industrijo na nahajališčih upravljajo lokalne province. Bordone še pove, da tudi zgodba v Franciji, ki finančno vzdržuje Novo Kaledonijo, ni tako črno-bela.
First, the NICOL, it's not the state. It's NICOL is owned by the provinces. So it's not so simple. It was true 30 years ago, but now with the new agreements, the NICOL is owned by the province now for the what we call a GKP project, and the two places of nickel in the south are owned by the South Province. And when we speak about the costs of nuclear energy for France, it's not like departments. A lot of things are paid by New Caledonian people. You ask what we call transfer, like educations, the state still gives money since the education is a new Caledonian competence, but on the same level, look, every year it's less and less and less money. And this transfer will be cancelled at the end of the Nouméa agreement. That means if there is a third accord next year, it will be cancelled. But after if we go until the second and the third consultation, after that the Nouméa agreement will stop, be stopped, and the financial transfer will stop.
Kaj se zgodi po referendumu, ostaja nejasno. V primeru odločitve za neodvisnost je predvideno časovno nedoločeno prehodno obdobje, v katerem bi Francija neodvisni Novi Kaledoniji pomagala pri vzpostavitvi lastnih organov. V primeru trikratne zavrnitve, ne pozabite letošnjemu plebiscitu, morate slediti še vsaj dva z istim vprašanjem o neodvisnosti, pa prihodnost ni jasna. Odločitev o nadaljem spoštovanju sporazuma iz 1998 je prepuščena Kaledonskemu kongresu.
You have three partners. You have the government, the French state, you have the independentists, and you have the anti-independentist parties. You have three partners. And to decide if we stop the rules, the actual way of working according to Nouméa agreement, it will be the decision after the referendum.
Zgodovina Nove Kaledonije in velike količine strelnega orožja na otoku prisotnega zaradi lovske tradicije, na katerim zbujata strahove o povratku nasilja iz 80-ih let po plebiscitu. Bordone ostaja optimističen.
We know that one event can put the fire in the country. We know that because it's a history of New Caledonia. But I think people are more confident than they were last year, because of this collective political intelligence of the New Caledonia political leaders. And in the past, they showed that even if they don't agree, they can find a sort of compromise to avoid to protect the peace. Finally, there is peace here since 30 years. Even if you have independentists and non-independentists, globally, the peace has been settled since 30 years.
De Paris n'importe où, bras sûr, en chantant des chansons, bras sûr. De Paris n'importe où, bras sûr, en chantant des chansons, bras sûr. J'entends des chansons, bras de sûr. De Paris n'importe où, bras sûr. J'entends des chansons, bras de sûr. Bon. Bon. De Paris n'importe où, bras sûr, j'entends des chansons, bras sûr. De Paris n'importe où, bras sûr, j'entends des chansons, bras.
Po krajšem glasbenem premoru nadaljujemo z južno hemisfero na valovih Radija Študent in Južnega Pacifika. Zadnja pacifiška država, ki se je osamosvojila od francoske oblasti, je bila Vanuatu leta 1980. Njegov primer številni lojalisti uporabljajo kot strašilo za kaledonsko prebivalstvo in opozorilo na to, kaj se lahko zgodi, če gre Nova Kaledonija po poti neodvisnosti. Blandin Gije, novinarka Kaledonija.nc, meni, da se primerjave ne ustresne.
Caledonia today has nothing compared to Vanuatu 20 or 30 years ago. Our economy in New Caledonia has much more industries, much more employees that Vanuatu had 30 years ago. That we can compare with two economies. However, this is the Vanuatu example. It's often given by politics who wants Caledonia to stay French, to say be afraid of what could happen to Caledonia if the country become independent. But the two economies have nothing to do. Caledonia has a lot of industry. We have the industry of nickel that Vanuatu doesn't have. We have a bit of tourism. We have industry transformation. And we have a lot of tertiary service shops that Vanuatu didn't have 30 years ago.
Denis Fischer, ki ima dolgoletne izkušnje z diplomatskim delom v Južnem Pacifiku, osvetli okoliščine francoskega umika z ozemlja Vanuatuja.
Vanuatu was a French-British condominium, a very unusual thing run by both France and Britain until 1980, when the push for independence was responded to. There was a referendum and they became independent. And the French resisted. The French were supporting opponents to independence well after the 1980 referendum. They dropped all aid to Vanuatu. So let us hope that Vanuatu is not the example of France letting go of one of its territories.
Vanuatu se tako zdi naraven zaveznik Kanako v boju za dekolonizacijo Južnega Pacifika, a je tamkajšna oblast tiho, kar se tiče teme neodvisnosti Nove Kaledonije. Če melanezijski sosedi izrekajo vsaj tiho podporo taboru, ki se zauzema za neodvisnost, pa lahko rečemo, da lojaliste tiho podpirajo sosedje z Avstralije in Nove Zelandije. Walter Zweifel.
And all politicians here in New Zealand or in Australia would say anything for or against, because that would be considered to be interfering in a neighbouring country's affairs. But there is a tacit understanding between Australia and New Zealand that they like France to stay in the Pacific, and that is for a number of practical reasons and other for strategic reasons. The practical reason is that this part of the world has cyclones and the natural disasters and quite often external help is needed to help countries like Fiji, Vanuatu. And there's an alliance called France, F-R-A-N-Z, France, Australia, New Zealand. And this France alliance helps out when there is a cyclone, like in Vanuatu 3 years ago, Fiji 2 years ago. So there is another so-called Western power that has the means and the resources to go and assist the area. The other thing is the big rivalry in the Pacific, which is not sort of pronounced or where the lines have been drawn clearly, as the rivalry between the Western Hemisphere, the Americans and the Chinese, and that's played out domestically or practically everywhere in the Pacific. And having a Western-oriented place like France out here in the South Pacific is considered to be a strategic advantage in this vague rivalry between the American sphere and the Chinese sphere.
Daleč od geopolitičnih iger med Kitajsko in Združenimi državami Amerike pa se staroselsko prebivalstvo sooča z eksistencialnimi težavami, ki jih bodo pestile še vsaj nekaj časa, ne glede na rezultat referenduma. Kljub zmanjšanju neenakosti med staroselci in evropskimi priseljenci ob implementaciji političnih sporazumov, imajo Kanaki v povprečju še vedno znatno nižjo stopnjo izobrazbe, posledično pa so pri njih višje tudi stopnje revščine, kriminala in alkoholizma. Južno hemisfero je pripravil Anton.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.